Hi, Birch.
Brendan, how are you, sir?
Good.
A quick thought for you, sir. My name. I had a rather lengthy discussion with Governor Brannigan. And you remember some time ago, when I was down there on another matter, we had a little conversation on the Vietnamese situation, and you suggested at that time that it might be helpful for some of us to speak out and give it some thought. I did. Would it be helpful to have a Western governor join in this business?
Yeah.
He's talked to both of our state university presidents who are in town today, and I intend to follow this up with them. We're doing Indiana to see if maybe there isn't some way we can start a countervailing student movement contrary to this crazy thing. I didn't want to muddy the water on this. I think Roger would go along.
I think it would be absolutely excellent. I think we've got to. What they've done, we don't want to say it because it makes us look like McCarthy's and we detest him so much. But what they have done throughout the world, they are winning the propaganda war against us. And they're also winning the other war against us because they're winning the propaganda when we have spent half of our time explaining what we're trying to do and so on and so forth. And they've got Harold Wilson on the ropes. And they've got the Prime Minister of Canada dodging and ducking. Now, none of us want to do what the Joint Chiefs of Staff say you ought to do to win, and that's go in and bomb hell out of them. And I'm holding them up and refusing to do that. On the other hand, if we walked out of there, we would bust every treaty we got, and 44 nations would say that the United States couldn't be depended on for anything, whether it's Tokyo or Berlin or NATO or any of the rest of them, CETO, CENTO. So we can't walk out, and we can't walk in, so to speak, with heavy bombs and atomic weapons and stuff like that, and we're trying to deter them and wear them out. Without losing a lot of people. Now, we've lost 400, but we've lost 160,000 casualties since World War II in Korea and Greece and Iran and Turkey and all over the world. So 400 compared to 160,000 is not bad, we relatively speaking. So if we can't go in, we can't go out, then what can we do? We can't just sit there. The only pressure that we're putting on them is bombing their bridges and their ammunition dumps. We've knocked out 20% of their ammunition. We've knocked out all their bridges, and they can't have many more buildups, and we're killing a good many of their people. This buildup that we got to face between now and the monsoon season was built up before we started their bombing in February. But I just held off as long and long and long as I could because I knew the people would raise hell and knew it didn't look good and it didn't have a peace image and so on and so forth. But it has done what we thought it ought to do, primarily three things. It has deterred them. It's hard as hell for them to get any more men down there. They have to load up a truck. They have to get their supplies. They get to a bridge and the damn bridge is out. So then they got to go down and get a ferry and go over on the ferry and unload their boat, their truck, it's too heavy, and then take it by pieces and get on the other side, and then they get another and they go 4 miles and they get to another bridge that's out. That's the first thing. So the second thing is we require a hell of a lot of people to be rebuilding this stuff. As soon as they get rebuilt, we knock it out again. And the economy is having trouble keeping these things restored to try to get them in shape. We just let them get right up to where they're about to finish and then we take them out again. The third thing is it's got them all scared to death. And they stay in and hide and then get in their caves, do everything they can with civil defense. And they can't produce as much. Now we hope by that war of nerves over a period of several months that they'll finally say, well, let's talk. As it is now, they spit in their face. When I gave them the pause and told them I wouldn't do anything for a week if they'd talk, they just spit in their face. They wouldn't even open them a letter telling them that. And they're arrogant as hell, and I don't blame them. I defeated Goldwater 15 million, and why would I want to give Goldwater half my cabinet? They're winning. Why would they want to talk? They all the talk would do is get them to give up something, they're going to win.
And your conversation down there, I made a speech, and every place I go in Indiana, I make sure that we stay. there and tell his story, because I found that the people, that they're with you. And the thing that drives me, and the thing that I think the governor can be helpful with us, and these university people, is that these so-called intellectuals, the people that are supposed to have all the brains, are the ones that are clear out left field and don't, they just can't conceive of what you have to do there.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I
said to them yesterday, a group of intellectuals, what would you have me do that I'm not doing? Now, what am I doing that you would have me stop? Well, they thought Scotty Reston was one of them. Alistair Cook of the Manchester Garden was another one, and several people. And they said, well, stop the bombing. And I said, okay. Now, you want a political solution. The only way you get a political solution, this contrast to military solution, is to have some pressure on them. Now, the only pressure I've got is the bombing. I don't instigate any incidents. They go and kill us, but we don't, they're gone before we can even get waked up or bury their dead. They run in, make a raid, and they're gone. So the only thing I'm doing is bombing. Now, if you ask me to stop it, what have I got? What pressure? What have I got to offer them? They say, well, nothing. I guess that's right. I just guess you got to keep that up, but we don't like it. I said, I don't like it. I don't even like being out there. I don't like it. Now, what else? Well, they said, we think maybe you ought to get some extra countries to give some people outside the United Nations. We know you tried the United Nations last August. And the United Nations said, all right, we'll come in here and talk about them shooting at our ships out there, the Tonkin Gulf. So they ordered the North Vietnamese to come in there. In last August, up the Security Council. And the North Vietnamese said, fuck you. That's exactly what they said. We wouldn't about to. You got no jurisdiction. So Greening gets up today and makes a big speech. Says, God, we ought to go to the United Nations. Well, we've got the United Nations. We've asked them to take charge. We submitted it to them. But the other side said, screw you. China doesn't belong to the United Nations. And the United Nations said they'd be willing to help. But I know they said, screw you. So can't do anything. I said, on other countries, I got 36 of them out there. I'm getting everything I can. I've sent Lodge to see them all. I've sent Rust to see them all. I've sent Ball to see them all. I've sent McNamara. Every country that's got 100 troops, I've asked them to send them. But I've got 2,000 coming through the Philippines. I've got 20,000 coming out of Korea. I've got 1,200 from Australia. But British got 70,000 Malays. They can't put any in there. They overtaxed now. The French won't. They got hell whipped out of them. The Germans are putting in money, and we can't take people out of Germany because we had 5 divisions over there protecting them. That's why we can't take too many out of Korea, because we got 2 divisions protecting them. And that doesn't do good to rob Peter to pay Paul. Well, I said, I guess that's right. But they didn't know that. Here's Scotty Reston and Alistair Cook. There it is. No, the answer to your question is yes, it's wonderful. And the answer to your question is, I wish that you'd just take a lead in foreign policy. You don't have to be on the committee. 85% of the people of this country, of what we're doing, the Dominican Republic and Vietnam, and the polls, those show it. I just finished a poll in New York State. I ran 73% in New York in the November election. Today, I would defeat Rockefeller 89-11. Today I would defeat Romney 78-22, and I'd defeat Nixon 79-21. And I beat the Republicans more than they've ever beat before. And 85% approve my position in these things. 5 of 6 don't know, and 8 of 10 are against it. But they're the ones that are raising hell. Now, we read the communist bulletins. Their orders go out to do it. This Du Bois youth thing is doing all these colleges, and they got to sit in tomorrow. They're all led by communist people. Hoover's got people after them all the time. But if I get out and go talk about the communists, it's always a McCarthy. Everybody disagrees with him, he called a communist. But that's what they're doing. They're stirring up this agitation. They got old man Eaton. He goes over and comes back. And the Chinese got their folks working. The Russians got their folks working. This Russian ambassador, hell, he's talking to all of our senators. And after he has lunch with one of his senators, it takes me 2 weeks to get the fellow to where he doesn't think I'm a warmonger again. But that's what they do. Well,
they use this propaganda for own senators against us.
Oh, yeah. What they do is they get one speech by Morris, they take it and print it in leaflets, drop it out to all of our people. Then they come back and say that the country is so divided. And I see in here this morning some article, I've forgotten where it was, said 85% of the senators in the United States Senate were really undercover against Johnson's position. I believe 85% of them are for it. But the alternatives, do I want to go in LeMay and bomb Peking? If I do, I'll get 35-40 divisions the next morning. I can't do that. Do I want to get out like Morris? No. Do I want to just sit there and get hit like I did for several months? I don't think I ought to ask an American boy to get shot at and not shoot back. So then what I do? Well, I tell them to defend themselves, and now they got to have more manpower. And we've got to put men in there because they're not going to do anything except build up their forces and try to run us out during the monsoon, Susan. And that's till September the 15th, so it's going to be real rough for the next 90 days. We hope that at the end of that period, we'll wear them down some, but there's no assurance. They hope they can wear us out. And I really believe they last longer than we do. One of their boys gets down in a rut, and he stays there for 2 days without water, food, or anything, and never moves, waiting to ambush somebody. Now, American, he stays there about 20 minutes. Now, damn, he got to get him a cigarette.
Well, who can he talk to? I told him I didn't think he ought to say anything until I had a nice talk with George Bundy.
He's excellent. If he's here, he's one I ought to talk to. If not, somebody in his office, just tell him that I said to talk to him in his office. Somebody that's there, he may be out debating. He does a lot of that. I'll have somebody notify Bundy's office to get right on it.
All right, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Give your sweet wife my love.
Thank you, sir.
I want to get with you sometime. We'll go down the boat sometime.